you know about this brand new style? It's a brand new dance called the Moo Cow. Hands out like this, then dip down. You know what to do now, do the Moo Cow. Moo, moo, do the Moo Cow. Moo, moo, do the Moo Cow. If you want to be strong and you want to be built.
Well, a different kind of song about the dairy industry, and that's what we're going to be talking about. Now, the dairy industry, obviously very important to the state of Wisconsin, but you know what? A lot of students don't know very much about the industry, and our next guest has a lot of experience introducing dairy farming to kids. Karen Doster is director of youth and school programs for the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin. Karen's with us to talk about their programs like Adopt a Cow, why it's important to teach students about dairy farming. And as we listen to her speak, I hope you'll join in with your own questions. What would you like to know about those efforts? Have you been a part of those efforts? Give a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234. Or you can send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. Ideas@wpr.org. Karen Doster, welcome. Thank you for taking time to be with us today.
Well, thank you so much, Larry. This is really fun to be able to share what we've been doing here. So thank you so much.
Yeah. Do you have, what's your background in dairy farming? Or do you have one?
I am not a dairy farmer. I actually am a, my background's basically in food science, nutrition, and marketing. And if you're not familiar with Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin, we are a checkoff organization, and we represent the dairy farmers in Wisconsin to help promote and market Wisconsin dairy products and create demand for Wisconsin dairy products. And, you know, and that goes the whole gamut of, you know, marketing to consumers, marketing to youth as well, because youth and children and students are our future consumers. So that's the area that I work in. And, you know, we talk about how milk and dairy products are a nutritious part of and part of a healthy diet. But also we need to help develop that trust in students and have them understand where their food comes from. And that all starts in the farm. So that's kind of the basis of this program and a lot of what I do at Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin.
Yeah, I imagine that there was a need or importance felt on your part and the organization's part to really reach out to kids so they understand what dairy farming is.
Oh, absolutely. And of course, especially here in Wisconsin, we are America's Dairyland. We are the dairy state. We, you know, have produced more cheese than any other state or country in the world. We produce one of, I think we're the second highest in milk production in the country. And so much depends on our dairy industry in Wisconsin. So many jobs are created from the agriculture and dairy industry. So, you know, this is really important. It's part of communities. It's part of, you know, what gives our state, you know, the amount of money that is pumped into it. In fact, it's a $43 billion industry in Wisconsin. So it is very, very important. And those are the kinds of facts that we try to communicate to the students.
Karen Doster, our guest today, as we talk with her about reaching children here in the state, connecting kids, cows, and classrooms, I think is what Jill mentioned.
Right.
And I hope you'll join in, 800-642-1234, or email us to ideas@wpr.org. You know, I went on your website, and you have a lot of opportunities to learn about dairy for children, and it runs from kindergarten to high school.
That's right. I mean, I actually work in that realm with students, kindergarten all the way through 12th grade. And that's the age groups that we're trying to address and to meet with this information. I would say our primary resources are really around the elementary and middle school. And this one program I'm going to be talking about today, Adopt a Cow, Actually, there have been schools that have signed up from all those ages, K through 12, but I would say most of them are in that elementary, maybe like first, second grade, all the way up to maybe fifth, sixth grade. And that's when, they're really kind of, they haven't made a lot of their decisions yet, and this is a time where we can talk to them and educate them. And so we develop programs around that. We work with teachers. We try to match the curriculum and what they're learning in the school. And so I seek programs that can fit with what works with the schools, as well as what can educate the students about what we want them to know about. And we partner with other organizations to get this information. We've developed some of our own programs, but it's just really fun, and especially trying to address the way that the teaching is currently. It's becoming a more virtual world, and that sort of happened a little bit by accident with this past couple, year and a half, 15 months, with the virtual learning, and this is where this particular program, Adopt the Cow, exploded. So it's been kind of exciting.
Well, let's talk about the Adopt-A-Cow program. How does it work?
This has just been so fun because I never expected it to be as big as it was. And this is an example of how we actually leveraged what somebody else was doing and then brought it into Wisconsin to make it our own and to teach our students in Wisconsin. So I'll give you a little history on it. It's actually a program of Discover Dairy, and that is a program that's part of Dairy Excellence Foundation out of Pennsylvania. They actually have a number of different educational resources. They had been around for a while. All I know is that I came across it a few years ago, and other dairy associations throughout the country have as well, and saw, this is really interesting. What an interesting way to teach children about dairy in a fun way that kind of meets with the way they enjoy things. It's very visual. They can get into it a little bit more. And so I kind of watched it for a while. And then I finally contacted the organization and said, how can I get involved in Wisconsin? Can we do the same sort of thing? Can you help me with this? And they say, sure, you could partner with us, and we could provide you a lot of the resources, and we could work together. Because there were actually some Wisconsin schools that were participating in this program, because they have a website that you could sign up and all this, and apparently some Wisconsin schools were involved, and I had no idea. And that was about 25 schools. That was actually the year before last, 25 Wisconsin schools. And I thought, well, we could do better than that. So once we partnered with them and worked this all out, I had a goal of 75 schools. I thought, or classrooms, I should say, 75 classrooms. And I thought, at least that's a jump from what it was before. That would reach about 1,500 students. That's pretty good. Well, after registration, we ended up with over 1,600 classrooms at 250 schools and over 28,000 students that we reached this year. So I exceeded my goals. I was very excited about that, but more excited that all these students are going to be learning about dairy this school year. So
that's great.
How it started.
Well, Kate in Barneveld has a question for you. Kate, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi. I certainly understand the importance of having our children be well-versed in the economic benefits and the economic importance of dairy or any industry that is vital to their state's economy. But as a parent and educator, I have always been concerned about crossing a line between, of bringing something that essentially is, to some extent, private industry and really almost propagandizing in favor of a particular product or industry in a school environment. And I'm wondering particularly how you address the sensitivities of some students for whom dairy may not be and maybe shouldn't be, you know, just pushed as positive. That, you know, for certainly for students who are lactose intolerant, who for, you know, even, you know, genetically, dairy is just not something that is part of their body culture. And certainly for students who are vegan or vegetarian, even where dairy is not, you know, something that is all good. And really for any student, I mean, with obesity rates the way they are, I think that pushing something that can have a very, you know, high fat content, and there is a dark side to dairy, both for our health and, you know, whether our benefits, certainly, it's not all good. And certainly for our health and for animal well-being and even just cultural sensitivity, dairy is not something that I think should necessarily be force-fed as an all-positive.
Well, can I,
Yeah,
I understand what you're saying. Let me just explain this, too. We're not just going in there talking about dairy. We're giving facts. We're talking about social studies in fourth grade, especially. They study agriculture. We are bringing in facts on cranberries in Wisconsin, green beans in Wisconsin, milk and dairy. It's not all just dairy. It's educating them on social studies and about the economy in Wisconsin. It goes all over the place. And dairy is one of the biggest industries in Wisconsin. And this is not about telling them what choice they need to make. It's educating them. And so what this Adopt a Cow program is...
Well,
is
I'll tell you what, let's hold on that right for the moment. We can get back to that, Karen, right after we take a look at the news. We'll be back with our guest. She can talk about that and take your questions as well. Stay with us. We'll be back right after the news. I'm Larry Mueller.
Live from NPR News, I'm Lakshmi Singh. Susan Collins is now the second Senate Republican after Mitt Romney to support the creation of an independent bipartisan commission to investigate the pro-Trump siege on the U.S. Capitol in January.
We owe it to the brave men and women who defended our lives that day, and in some cases did so at the cost of their lives.
The mother of fallen U.S. Capitol Police Officer Brian Sicknick tells NPR she wants Congress to investigate.
My son is dead, and I want to know why.
Gladys Sicknick is now lobbying Senate Republicans who are currently opposed to forming a 9/11-type commission. Senate Republicans have unveiled a $928 billion infrastructure proposal to counter the White House call for a $1.7 trillion in spending. NPR's Kelsey Snell reports Republicans want to pay for the plan by repurposing money Congress has already approved for other programs.
The Republican outline combines spending Congress was already planning with about $250 billion in new funding for physical projects around the country. A group of GOP senators led by Shelley Moore Capito of West Virginia drafted the plan amid discussions with the White House.
It sticks to the core infrastructure features that we talked to initially. It's a serious effort to try to reach a bipartisan agreement.
Democrats are pushing for any eventual infrastructure bill to include money for other programs, like combating climate change and increasing funding for childcare. They argue that infrastructure should refer to any system that impacts a worker's ability to participate in a healthy economy. Kelsey Snell, NPR News, Washington.
Infrastructure takes center stage in Ohio, where President Joe Biden is speaking at a community college in Cleveland. Here's NPR's Windsor Johnston.
The White House says President Biden will make the case that his economic policies are working to lead the nation out of the coronavirus pandemic. The president is also expected to make another pitch for his massive infrastructure plan and how it would benefit American cities like Cleveland. Congressional Republicans, including Ohio Senator Rob Portman, have been highly critical of Biden's plan, arguing that it's too costly and too broad.
Windsor Johnson reporting now. Remaining in Ohio, we're learning about the first people to win cash prizes and scholarships for COVID-19 vaccinations. Governor Mike DeWine revealing the first winners of the Ohio Vax-a-Million sweepstakes at a news conference today.
Joseph Costello from Englewood in Montgomery County, Southwest Ohio, won the first student full ride scholarship, which is room, board, tuition, and books for 4 years to college.
That's Governor DeWine at a news conference today. The Dow is up 130 points. This is NPR News.
This is Wisconsin Public Radio News. It's 12:04. I'm Hannah Haynes. Wisconsin lawmakers are scheduled to hold the first hearing on a package of police reform legislation based on recommendations from a racial disparities task force. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss formed the task force last fall after the murder of George Floyd by police in Minneapolis and the protests over police brutality that followed. The task force issued a set of recommendations in April. The Assembly's Criminal Justice Committee was scheduled to consider seven bills based on the recommendations today. The legislation calls for gathering data on no-knock entries, training for officers stationed in schools, psychological tests for officer applicants, crisis training for officers, and drug testing for officers involved in incidents resulting in deaths or injuries. Opponents say the bill doesn't go nearly far enough. More than 7,000 people have died from COVID-19 in Wisconsin. The state DHS reported five new deaths from the disease yesterday. That put Wisconsin's official death toll at 7,003 people. But while the state passed another grim milestone in the pandemic, overall, new reports of COVID-19 cases are on the decline in the state. The seven-day average for new cases has been declining for weeks now. Wisconsin has averaged 307 new cases a day over the last week. The last time the average was below that was on June 23rd of 2020, when the average was 305 daily cases. You're listening to news from Wisconsin Public Radio. More at WPR.org.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Fidelity Wealth Management, helping clients develop investing strategies for tax efficiency. More at fidelity.com/wealth. Investment minimums apply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC.
Support for WPR comes from Freiberger Consulting, applying building science to the inspection of homes, commercial, and historic properties. Restoration and building science information is at freibergerconsulting.com.
Support also comes from Ace Hardware Center on Williamson Street in Madison, providing a selection of gardening, grilling, and outdoor living supplies to enhance yards, patios, or balconies. Family owned since 1923. More at aceonwilly.com.
What you know about this brand new style? It's a brand new dance called the Moo Cow. Hands out like this, then dip down. You know what to do now, do the Moo Cow. Moo, moo, do the Moo Cow.
Talking about teaching our youngsters about dairy farms, dairy farming on the show today. Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us on the Ideas Network. Our guest is the Director of Youth and School Programs for Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin, Karen Doster. What would you like to know about teaching kids about dairy? Did your class participate in the Adopt a Cow program this year? We'd love to hear from you. Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234, or you could send us an email to ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Karen, as we broke for news, you were talking about the range of information that's included in the programs, the education programs that you have. Maybe continue from there.
I really wanted to share what I was planning on today is about this Adopt-A-Cow program. This is our newest program. It's teachers signed up for it, totally voluntary. They're the ones who wanted to sign up for it to bring a program into their classrooms. And this is the way it worked. Back beginning last August through October 15th, this year it's going to be August through September 15th, teachers, classrooms, preschools, we even had all over the world, there were schools and signing up for this program. There were even some nursing homes and Cub Scout troops also signing up. It's totally free. And they would just put in who they were, the teacher, how they could be contacted. And then in October, beginning of November, they were sent a notification of the calf that they had adopted. And all of the Wisconsin schools had a calf from a Wisconsin dairy farm. We had three Wisconsin dairy farms that were working with us,
they had their calves in, about three calves each, three to four calves each in around the October time. They provided, these dairy farmers provided pictures, updates, little videos throughout the year so that it could go to the classrooms and the teachers can share this with their students. If they were a virtual learner, it could be shared virtually. If they were in the classroom, then they could show it on their screen in the classroom. And it really was just updates of what their cow's eating, how much does the cow weigh now, it was the name of the calf, who their mother was, who their father was, how the nutritionists take care of them and feed them, how they sleep, you know, things like that. So, and there were questions that would come in from the students that were, you know, how is my calf doing now? And what time does she get up in the morning? And what's her favorite thing to do? So it just was kind of a fun way to connect these students with the dairy farms without visiting it. And it all culminated with a virtual dairy farm tour with the farmer where they could meet their calf virtually. So it just, you know, worked out really well. Each of the calves had names. There was Peanut and Sweetie and Dorito and Saruji. They get to learn about the dairy farm family, what the history of their farm was. So this is why this program worked, because it just taught the kids in kind of a different way. So that's why I believe it was very successful.
Sorry, Karen. And the first year, obviously the first year went pretty well.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, it did. And so, and I do believe, you know, there's some good things that maybe came out of COVID, not much, but there was virtual learning. We've seen that not only with this program, with educators and education companies throughout the state or the country, that teachers were looking for virtual resources because a lot of schools, many schools were not in person, at least at the beginning of the year. And so this fit in perfectly, although we did not anticipate that when we initially decided to do this program, because it can work both ways, whether they're, you know, at home or whether they're in the classroom, they're still seeing videos and pictures and can interact that way. And then they interact with the farmer, dairy farmer. We just had these live dairy farm tours in April. And so then the kids in the classrooms can chat with the farmer as well and meet their calves. So it was kind of a full circle and keeps them engaged throughout the school year, part of their social studies program, mainly for the ones who are in that fourth, fifth grade. For the younger kids, it was a way to, they made a bulletin board. They wrote notes. They had writing skills. They wrote notes to their calf or to the farmer. So there are, you know, a lot of different benefits from that. And we're waiting to get our first results back from teachers this year. There are surveys done at the end, you know, to see how we can improve, what they liked. But all in all, from what we hear, it's been very successful in the schools, and we're going to plan to do this again next year.
Very cool. Mitch in Mindoro, yeah. We'll go to you now. Mitch, thanks for calling.
How are you guys doing today?
Great. Appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I guess I just kind of have a bone to pick with your first caller. I grew up in agriculture. I've been part of it my entire life. I currently rotationally graze beef cows up in the Mindoro area. And hearing comments like that from an educator, it just really strikes me, because, you know, this is the type of stuff, especially in Wisconsin. I mean, this is our, you know, biggest economic entity, you know, would be agriculture. And to not want to promote that really kind of strikes me a little bit as odd. And then on top of that, you know, obviously these kids, you know, especially my, you know, kids in general, they should be subjected to everything and then kind of let them feel out, you know, their own way in life. An educator's job, in my opinion, is to, you know, relay the facts and then let people form their own opinions off of that. So to hear somebody concerned about the sensitive little touchy-feely stuff, you know, that just kind of bothers me. You know, I feel like what Karen's trying to do is awesome. And I mean, honestly, I, in my opinion, I wish she would even take it a step further to, you know, start to talk about like the really kind of hard stuff, you know, like the butchering and whatnot, because there's so many people, adults even, that don't understand what it takes to get that animal, you know, all the way to you know, like a processing point. And then all these people know is just I go to the grocery store and I grab my steaks or whatever for the afternoon picnic or whatnot, and they have no clue what it took to get all that there.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mitch, thank you for calling. Comment, Karen.
Well, I you know, tend to agree. This is all about educating. Yes, these are young children, or you know, elementary, middle school. They need to have facts so that they can make their own decisions, and that's what we're providing. Everything we provide is factual, and so we just want to educate them again where their food comes from. I mean, the same thing is done whether it's fruits and vegetables. Do they start on the ground? Do they start in a tree? You know, what parts of the country are those kinds of vegetables and fruits grown in? It's the same thing with the dairy or the beef industry. Just encouraging students with their teachers to learn. And that's what our goal is.
Mitch, thanks so. Again. Richard, in Two Rivers. Richard, what's on your mind?
Yeah, hey, Larry. Hi, Karen.
Hi.
Yeah, I have a question. It's regarding when are you going to go from virtual to the real animals? And, Larry, the fishing's been good up in Two Rivers. You got to get up there.
Okay, Richard. So will the kids ever get to see the calf in person, so to speak, Karen?
I'll tell you what is going to be happening. One of our dairy farmers, Synergy Dairy in Pulaski, was one of the ones who had three calves, and she has offered Heather Jokey to bring those three calves to Farm Wisconsin Discovery Center, which is in Manitowoc, Wisconsin. It's a big interactive agricultural learning center on June 5th, so that the students who had these calves, Dorito, Sarugi, and Charlemagne, can meet her in person. But it's really open to the public for anyone to come and see what the Adopt a Cow program's all about and meet some of the calves that are in person in this case. So that's kind of our little twist on it here in Wisconsin. And so, you know, I can give you some more details on that as well, or you could put it on your website or whatever, but I encourage people to come out and see what the program's about and meet some of these calves. And the students who had these calves knew when they were born, they were like 65 pounds, and now they're like 600 pounds. So they're not going to look as much like a calf anymore. And I'm sure a lot of them will be amazed. So I'm looking forward to that event.
Oh, will that be, I wonder if you're going to do that virtually as well, even though it's in person.
There may be somebody out there filming it. I don't know that, but I will tell you, each of these dairy farms, as I mentioned, culminated with a live dairy farm tour. They toured the dairy farm, they get to meet the calves, and it was all recorded. So these are three dairy farms with the calves. There's a link that anybody can go and look. It's a public link that anyone can go and look at it and see the calves. So it's not quite the same as going in and, you know, touching them and seeing them. But you have to think about this too, whether it's COVID time, virtual or not. A lot of schools aren't able to, as much as in the past, maybe go on field trips to a dairy farm or to any field trip because of the cost of busing or maybe the distance or a lot of different reasons. And so this is why a lot of this virtual learning is becoming very popular. We hope to get students to dairy farms again with tours. We've always done that in the past. This next spring, hopefully, next year. But in the meantime, this seems to work. I think the teachers liked it. It gave them just something to study once a week for maybe a half an hour. And then they didn't have to get on a bus and go somewhere. So there's, you know, a lot of advantages to it.
We have, I was looking again at the website, and it's wisconsindairy.org, isn't it?
That's correct. That's our Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin website, and we're in the youth and schools section, where there's a lot of, yeah.
And I know we have a link to that on our in our program notes in today's program. So if you go to ideas at WPR.org/Larry, we have a link there to it. But I'm looking at educational resources. And just, for example, the third grade, you've got activity. There are activity sheets. There's a video. Well, what you may have it in front of you as well. You could talk about it.
Yes, we have a whole, right. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you go ahead and talk about it.
Okay, yeah, we have on our website in the youth and schools section of wisconsindairy.org, we do have an educational section, and we have it kind of divided by some different grades, and we have quite a few resources in there for K through 3. In fact, we're going to be adding some new books in there soon, I would say online books that teachers can use or parents could even use to read to their students about agriculture. We have one that's called A Farm of Many Colors, so you learn about all the fruits and vegetables and as well as, you know, cheese and dairy products and things like that. There's one that's my field trip to a Wisconsin dairy farm that will be up there shortly, and one that's curd science. So we're continually adding to it. So that's where the K through 3 is. But it would be fine for fourth grade or anyone who wants to take a look. Fourth grade in Wisconsin is generally the age where many teachers study in their social studies unit, Wisconsin. And part of Wisconsin is Wisconsin agriculture. And so we have a lesson there with one of the former Alice in Dairylands, who is, it's like a 15-minute lesson. You're learning all about different foods produced in Wisconsin, including dairy products. And it's kind of interactive. Then there's a new virtual dairy farm tour with a new Alice in Dairyland, Julia Nunez. She did one of those this year, so it's kind of a fun tour of a dairy farm. And then we have some other resources for middle school that are with some of our partners with Discovery Education. You'll see that. High school, it's more like learning about cheese. And then at the bottom, you'll see that we have a link to the Adopt-A-Cow program through Discover Dairy. That's down there. And that's where you can go. Teachers can go to sign up for this program for next school year, or you can go directly to their website, discoverdairy.com. So lots of different ways
very
to get
cool.
There.
And I see the other thing I noticed, you have some STEM curricular lessons like in that fifth to eighth grade group.
Right. That's part of one of our partners, Discovery Education, who put those together. And that's more advanced, you know, a look at dairy and some of the practices and some of the science in there that's for that age group. And, you know, they address a lot of the STEM core curricular and a lot, and then there's core standards. I'm not a teacher by profession, but a lot of those kinds of things teachers would know to look at to see if it fits with their curriculum. And what standards vary by state too. So that particular program for the middle school is a nationwide program. So it could be used by any teachers throughout the country. It's kind of a more generic dairy, not specifically just Wisconsin. Yeah, so we're always trying to look for new programs to add to this because it seems to be what we get requests for all the time. And we used to go into classrooms actually to teach this a while back when we had a bigger staff, but that's not as easy to do anymore. So that's why developing these kinds of resources that are easy to use for teachers is what we're trying to do.
Yeah. Louise in Dodgeville, let's go to you. Hi, Louise.
Hi. I have a question for your guest about the Adopt-A-Cow program. And if there was more interest in the program in like urban, suburban areas versus rural, since rural kids maybe have an easier time getting to a farm or know a friend's family who has a farm. So just curious about that, and I can take my answer off the air.
All right. Thanks, Louise. Appreciate it.
That's actually a very good question because we do look at where we're going and where our reach is. And we definitely are trying to reach a lot of the urban areas because that is where a lot of the kids may not even know. They just think you get your food from the grocery store. I mean, that's really has been said before. So, but this was open to anyone. And I was really excited to say that we reached over 85% of the counties in Wisconsin, all, you know, a lot down the Milwaukee and the Green Bay, a lot of the urban areas, as well as in the rural areas. And some of the ones of the, what was it? We had 61 counties that participated, and the ones that didn't, most of them were more of the rural areas, or they might just have one school district, or they might have, you know, a couple schools. So they're very, very small school-wise as far as in those counties. So we reached all over, and there was excitement, and we got comments from teachers and from students. It's so fun to learn about our CAF. I think even some of the kids that are in some of the rural areas who may not be on dairy farms may not know all these facts. So this is, we're showing that it's really reaching them with the right kind of information so that they can understand it. So, yeah.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, you know, a lot of rural areas, the kids may be in a rural area, but they may have no contact with dairy cows or agriculture in general. Dave in Madison, your turn. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Larry, thanks for having me on.
Oh, we lost him. Dave wondered, does the program teach about rotational grazing? And that, I know there's a section on their videos on various aspects of agriculture, but does rotational grazing ever come into the conversation that you know about, Karen?
That may. It depends on the dairy farmer. They share what the dairy farmers do, the three dairy farms that we have and the other ones throughout the country, is they provide pictures and updates of their particular farm. Some have talked about their methane digesters. Another one may do something else. I'm not sure if the three we had talked about that, but they may have during their live dairy farm tour. So we encourage them to include anything that's unique about their farm or how they farm. You know, a lot of the times who they're speaking to, these kids, they're going to be focusing on how many cows and meeting the calves and this is what they eat and this is where they live and showing them that. But that's certainly something that I think is very important for them,
yeah.
You know, all those kinds of to know. So I don't know in particular if our dairy farmers did state that. I'm still kind of looking through all their information. There's pages and pages of it. And then, of course, the teacher needs to share that with them, too. So anyway.
There you go. And here, speaking of teacher needing to share that, now this here we've got another school year coming up in fall.
Mm-hmm.
Can classes still get involved for this coming year?
Yes. So what it is, if you go again to either our website and look at the Discovery, our Adopt a Cow section, or go to discoverdairy.com, we'll take the registrations for the Adopt a Cow. That begins on August 1st. And then it closes September 15th, okay? And we will be promoting this on our social, on our website, on our lists. Discover Dairy will, too. It's, you know, really caught on, and they have thousands and thousands of schools throughout the nation that they notify. And the reason they need to sign up is because after September 15th, it will be shut off, and that's when we start gathering all the information to put together these, you know, PowerPoint slides and packages and adoption papers and pictures of the calf and all that so it can get to the schools so then they can start using this. And, I mean, the pictures of the calves are just adorable. You know, they have their own little portrait. They have their name, who their mother is, you know, their father. There's an adoption certificate. So there's a lot that goes on after that registration. And you know, you can always contact me, too, at wisconsindairy.org, and I can help you if you're not sure.
Well, Karen, it's been a lot of fun talking about this program. It's certainly gained some great reach. Thank you so much for being with us today and talking about it.
It was fun. Thank you so much for having me on. I really enjoyed speaking with you and sharing the program. So,
Karen Doster, Director of Youth and School Programs for Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin. And again, we have a link on our in the program notes of today's program at ideas@wpr.org/Larry. Thank you for listening. Tomorrow we'll talk about growing an edible garden in space. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network. Do the moo cow, moo, moo, do the moo cow, moo, moo, do the moo cow.